The darkened corridors of yet another cave. It's a place you've been in before. The contours of these walls are familiar. You've run your hand over them a dozen times, abjuring light. Light might draw attention, and in here, who knows from what? But you have a report from someone who passed through. Of an injured woman on this level. Well, woman is too weak a descriptor. Scales, claws, slit pupiled eyes, red scales from the shoulders up to the sides of the face, running in long rivulets, as though red scale had dripped on the side of her jaw, of her neck. Darker scale all over. You see her. An indigo color through the body is iridescent in the light of the smallest torch you could get away with. She hisses, receding, eyes flashing. Form muscled, powerful. You get a good look at her, but your goal is to help her, so you refrain from the baser impulses that rise at something so visceral, powerful, something which, with one stroke of its hand, could end you. You dream of it ending you for only a moment. It scoffs, seeing your glance. Yes, that's right. Come closer, and that's exactly what awaits you. I still have my pride. I still will fell you, even if it means my demise. You move slowly on approach. This is a small cul-de-sac of the cave. Almost nothing is likely to approach. She recoils. There is some blade in her hand. It flashes, and it must be sharper than her claws, or she'd use those. She has her form sinuously pressed against the wall. She's kneeling, unable to rise. You see silver-black blood from some injury, some other predator. But this place is your project and your responsibility both. You reach into your pockets and pull out gloves, pulling them on. She's in a striking S, her upper body forward, her abdomen pulled back, guarding her vitals, her hands raised. You reach into your pack and pull out a long, sturdy implement, a clamp stick. She hisses at the potential indignity. So you throw it aside. Her head tilts to one side. Fully 90 degrees, of course. The lower body is snake-like, the upper body bare. Breasts on display, but flecked with her blood. You move nearer, extremely slowly. Hands extended. Her type is non-venomous. You recognize the dark scales. The red, gorgeous trails of thinner scales that run over the soft flesh of her breasts up onto her perfect neck. Her lips are dark, black, coated in ichor. Her body at the height of condition. You wonder aloud what could have done this. Not fair, she says. More than one. Multiple, working together, not normal. You've known for a while the cave system is in disarray. It's why you planned a field trip, why you have a tent outside, set up for investigation, why you're the one people come to when someone they don't really want to see die or be too badly permanently injured is in a bad way. You move nearer, nearer. You tell her you'll treat her wound and go on your way. She points out that why would she let easy food go when she is convalescing? Indeed, why would you be able to leave it all? You say it's a risk you'll take, and move nearer, nearer. She strikes, but you're not only prepared for it, you're augmented. The elixir you took burns in your body, heightening every sense. It's only now kicked in, you timed it perfectly. You drop the torch. It's dark. You fool, she hisses out. But it's not quite that simple. You can see. You click your tongue. And again. The air around you reports back just enough information for you to move to the side. It is truly pitch black here. There is not enough light. But scent is a tool. She flicks her tongue out. And that is when she's lost. You dart your arm forward, the part just behind the glove, and rub it over her extended, flicking tongue. Blech! She reacts instantly, recoiling back to that S in the corner. In snake women, aerosolized scents, pheromones, can be detected easily. But sex pheromones do not float through the air. The only way to detect them is to lick them directly, as she just did. There's an organ on the roof of her mouth that reacts. You see the glaze come over her eyes. She reacts and instantly drops her knife, darting her hands between her legs. An intense moan and a shiver follows. Because you're wearing pheromones that indicate to her that you are ready to be bred, taken, fucked. They've been afflicting you a little, being pseudo-magical in nature. But she whimpers and exposes her belly, her breasts, and between her legs, the slowly swelling flare of her length. She maybe was not always a serpent like this. Many in the runes were not. The mirror beasts deeper down certainly never were. And the creatures who inhabit the vast ant colony with which the snakes are at war definitely have some who have their origins in humanity. And a transformation ritual or two. Some elves make their way down here, and you do see pointed ears on her. You're wary of magic. But you move nearer and instantly reach for her belly. She moans, pushing her length up. The tip of her hardened cock rubs against your arm, and you're amazed at her vigor and her arousal, that she could get anything at all out of pleasure when she's in this state. Your treatment is rapid, a glowing light enough to illuminate her rapturous, afflicted face, fills the air, floods her with healing, mending. The wounds are closing, the blood is siphoning itself back up, and she is clean, bare, immaculate. As vigor returns to her limbs, she takes her hands that you realize had been flagging and falling with her arms and wraps them both around her cock, which she begins to pump, to pump. You play dirty, she says. You admit that you play dirty. Anything to help her out. But point out that you're not going to take advantage of her. Her appearance is not uncommon. If you're transforming, you can have any configuration of features you like. The gorgeous breasts, the rigid cock. You think you see a pussy down there as well. And then the tail below that. Slithering, powerful, now coiled into a roll beneath her. Her perfect soft uniform scales are fitted together. the reddish-orange color you can see clearly in the residual light of your magics, which are clinging to her, vitalizing her, buffing her, restoring her. The red coloration is on her throat, her cheeks, her chin, but it's very thin lines of scales. You imagine they might feel nice to run your fingers over, going from the softness of her humanoid skin to the serpentine colorations. She is smooth. And you notice that her lower body is unnaturally long. She is large, larger than you. Powerfully, powerfully muscled. She moves toward you. Quickly. Don't think you're getting out of this. You're going to be chivalrous. You're going to neglect to fuck me. You got me worked up. You have to take responsibility. I'm not exactly averse to this. And I'll have a nice meal at the end, won't I? She says. The movement is quick, and even though you're prepared for it, her tail is obstructing the entrance. You know she can flick it across you, throw you into her arms. So you raise your hands in a position of surrender and pull off your gloves. Presumptuous, she says. You assume I will let you touch me. You know you assume correctly. Sweat is beating on her humanoid parts at least. And then she is upon you, kissing and licking your neck, extending her tongue. There is zero trace of violence. You note this, that she could easily attack and subdue you. She points out that she wants you aroused, physically aroused, aroused in a way she can taste. And she has no idea if you'd like pressuring, forceful, powerful assailing. You lean against her body, arm pressed against her chest. You apologize for getting her worked up, and she says, I was in rut before you got here. You just reminded me. It's not like anything you brewed up could afflict me. Trust me, people have tried. People with apparently far more malign interests. She meets your lips. Her non-venomous fangs gently graze your lower lip. There's a twinge. And then her hands are on your ass, pulling you toward her, rubbing you over her. She doesn't seem inclined to penetrate. She doesn't seem inclined to even have you jerk or suck or touch her. Her dripping pussy touches your thigh as she angles her serpentine, perfect body. You ask her why she's so high up in the caves, when she might very well prefer deeper corridors. Food is scarcer now, she admits. It can be quite difficult. She presses into you. Although I can, of course, hunt my brethren, it is unpopular, and they brand those who do it. She licks your neck. I fight my nature all the time. Give me one opportunity to indulge it. She humps her length against you over, 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 again, again, again. The wonderful heat of her is so powerful. You bring your hands around. You find a spot between her shoulder blades. You remember it from the diagrams. You press. Tension leaves not just her arms, but every part of her body except that rigid cock and its involuntary musculature. It has a little bit of scaling at the base, but it's so soft, even softer than the shaft. You push against her. She sighs, becoming docile. Or more accurately, she drops the pretense. When pushing against you and indulging her impulses, she's leaving trails of her pre-cum along your thighs. You gently, lightly turn her around. Her lower body barely pivots, but with her facing away, you can see her back. Kiss it. And you do. The vulnerable spots you've learned. You studied her species for days. Not just before this, you've studied her species and every other one in the catacombs, preparing to delve down and find the elusive matriarch wherever she is down there. You push against her. You reach around. You displace one of her hands, gently but forcefully, and ask, "Is this all right?" She nods mutely, looking over her shoulder with her mouth open. The feeling of your hand on her length has apparently ignited some internal system, some long-neglected but beautiful thing. Your own arousal is secondary. You can take care of it in your tent later. She'll be quite the porn, quite the spank bank. You just grip her at the base, and using thumb and forefinger begin a methodical milking that touches every inch of a rigid shaft of a foreskin still connected to the head by a small line of muscle you're all too happy to stroke. You take responsibility, exactly as she demanded, her weapon long discarded, her claws mostly retracted, which is a good trick because she's groping her A-cup tits. They're not huge, but the way they sit on her svelte, sinuous form is enough to make you know that you're going to experience this moment again in future, make you aware of your own helplessness before her sheer sensuality. You stroke one time. The look over her shoulder. Flexible as her head is, she can turn it very effectively. Is open-mouthed, eyes wide, and impossible. The gasp, the hiss from her throat. You wonder why, and then you feel the spurt, as one pump from you is enough to set her off. As all restraint, all pretense is gone, her lower body thrashes wildly but doesn't touch you at all. She's just herself, there, caught in climax, true, impossible. She wasn't kidding about being pent up. She spurts against the cave wall. You see it glistening in silver, clicking your tongue to see the report. Combination of magic and skill, showing you every inch of her, the way her muscles are squeezed in. Yes, she hisses and pushes back against you. The research was right. This is a docile creature. She leans forward, and you kiss the side of her neck on a whim and leave a little bite, sucking hard, producing a raised welt there. She begins thanking you, her bravado from before gone. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, as she spurts in what is the longest climax you could imagine, squirting against the wall, grinding back against you, the point of the join between her humanoid upper body and her serpentine lower one becoming the focus of so much sensation. You're very happy to continue. You reach under and find that in front of her pussy, you'd missed them, are some very small balls that are pulled up against the base, producing that wave of long-neglected cum. You lean in, the same whim that caused you to suck at her neck continuing, and inform her that any time she's pent up, especially since you learned it wasn't the fault of your pheromones, they'd just reminded her how horny she was, even while injured, you whisper you'll happily take care of things. And she hisses back, "Only if I can use a hole. Your mouth would feel lovely." The bravado gone, she's just telling the truth, telling what she wants. And you wonder if later, when you're in your bunk getting off to this, you wipe your sticky hand on her thigh, or what passes for her thigh. You wonder if she'll be masturbating to the memory of you. Your arousal, which, unlike serpent pheromones, is definitely putting a scent in the air that she's flicking her tongue, deliberately tasting. She murmurs a thing that will be food for thought for a long time for you. You must be so delicious. And you don't think she means consumption in the standard way. You wonder what the taste of your sweat, your skin, your kiss has done, can do, will do to this spent, exhausted, powerful weapon of a creature in the future.